Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Well, good evening, everyone. I hope you're having a lovely day. Despite what we saw happening to Greg and Catherine from True the Vote earlier this morning, tragedy. It is a miscarriage of justice. The idea that a federal judge could, without due process, imprison an innocent American citizen, two of them at that, who have not been accused of a crime, who have not been convicted of a crime. They have just been summarily judged and unilaterally thrown in prison. Absolutely disgusting. So tonight, we're going to try to wash a bit of that taste out of our mouth, the disgust we have for our two-tier justice system. At 6 p.m. Eastern, a special town hall call with none other than our hometown boy from Ohio, J.R. Majewski, and President Trump is going to be held live on the phone. We're actually going to be calling in. If you want to participate, I've got the number on screen. I will give it out again in the middle of the show. And, we're going to have a whole lot of fun. We're going to go over a bunch of news, too, things that happened over the weekend I didn't get a chance to talk about. We haven't really talked about the Paul Pelosi, David DePape situation, but believe me, I have a lot of thoughts on that. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because we have a very special message from the sponsor of this program, and that would, in fact, be... All right, so the reason we started a little bit early tonight, guys, is because at 5 p.m. Eastern, J.R. Majewski is going to be opening War Room with Steve Bannon. So we're going to watch that together, and then we're going to go through and we're going to take a look at some of today's news. I have Real America's Voice pulled up on another monitor here, and we're just waiting for Steve Bannon and the War Room team to take the stage. J.R. is going to be the very first person on the show, so it's only going to be probably the first 5, maybe 10 minutes of the program. But then after that, we are going to talk about everything that we missed over the weekend. I mentioned Paul Pelosi and David DePape. Let me see a show of hands out in the audience. Give me a one if you believe what they're trying to lay down. The idea that this David DePape guy, who looks like a hippie, he lived in San Francisco. I don't know what self-respecting conservative would live in a bus attached to a house in San Francisco. And then he ends up at Paul Pelosi's home in the middle of the night. There are way too many things going on here. That's a two if you don't believe it. I'm expecting to see a lot of twos. So David DePape and Paul Pelosi In my estimation, the most likely scenario is that they probably met on a gay dating app, maybe even just, you know, out on the streets. Maybe Paul Pelosi was copping a little bit of dope here or there. He went to his dealers to score, and David DePape just happened to be there. Maybe David DePape was doing something else for him. They said that he was found with zip ties, and of course, they take the zip tie narrative and they try to tie it back to January 6th. There are a whole bunch of things that I can think of that zip ties are used for. I'm remodeling my office right now. Here, I have zip ties on my desk. That doesn't mean that I'm invoking January 6th or that I want anything to do with Paul Pelosi. Certainly doesn't mean that I'm going to show up at Nancy and Paul's house and ask where he is. But from the moment this thing happened, David DePape, standing in Paul Pelosi's living room in his underwear, wrestling over a hammer with Paul Pelosi, the police at the window, David DePape wrestling the hammer from Paul Pelosi's hands and smashing him about the face and arms and stuff like that. From the moment this was announced, the left was jumping on this bandwagon that David DePape is. Oh, here we go. JR's here. We're gonna go to this.
Prove this message because we deserve someone voting for us.
Okay, welcome to the War Room. It's Monday, 31 October in the year of our Lord 2022. Bloomberg's reporting that it's breaking the Republicans' way in a big way, both in the House and the Senate seats. These are still going to be dogfights. Everybody's got to get to the ramparts. That means be a force multiplier now and get out the vote. And also, you've got to sign up and work a poll worker, poll watcher, or an election official. Let's go to J.R. Majewski. J.R., that's kind of a soft ad. A lot of people in the last couple of weeks just go full attack. Why did you pivot to this kind of the softer side of J.R. Majewski?
Well, Steve, I think it's because, you know, Marcy Kaptur's been working with Nancy Pelosi, and they've, you know, spent millions of dollars making me sound like this ultra-right, Nazi, whatever they want to call me. And I just really wanted to put a message out there that I understand. I'm empathetic. And I am just like the people in the 9th District that are suffering from this Biden economy.
Walk me through. Where does this race stand? I know that NRCC's in. Kevin McCarthy saying good things. Everybody's talking this race up now. Is this because it's tightened after you had that speed bump about 4 weeks ago?
I think that speed bump was just a play by the Democratic Party and the Associated Press to try to make this race a toss-up. You know, everywhere we go in the district, we get nothing but love. I mean, we were in Lucas County today in Toledo, Ohio, and I got one older gentleman that gave me the finger, but I had probably 50 or 60 waving at us and honking their horns and, you know, wanting to talk. We've had nothing but love in the district, and I think we're going to see that displayed on November 8th.
Bloomberg's reporting, and others are too, is that really what people are focused on is inflation, the economy, wrong direction of the country. I think NBC even had a poll that 80% of the people think the country is not just on the wrong track, but it feels like it's out of control. Is that what you hear when you go around the district?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 40 years here, Toledo, Ohio used to be one of the highest populated cities. We're home of Toledo Jeep. And, at one point we were the fourth largest distributor of coal. And we have a lakefront here that's underutilized. We're the only city in the United States that has the north and south and east and west longest interstates that, you know, touch both sides of the country. And crime is rampant. And we are just failing here. We're failing every day. Because of leadership. And Marcy Kaptur is the one constant that we've seen throughout the 40 years of demise. She's the one that's been in office, and it's her policies and her representation that has led us here, and the people know that.
They don't even want to engage in as really on any issues of substance, do they? It's all attack ads, politics of personal destruction. Is that still her playbook?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're sending national media outlets here to, you know, hijack my town halls and ask me, you know, for a lack of better description, stupid questions in an attempt to get me to slip up and say something that they can go make a viral piece out of. But we're on message. I relate to the voters here. I'm running because of Marcy Kaptur. I'm running because of the Democratic Party. Most of all, I'm running because I love the people, and I'm an America First candidate, and President Trump is the one that's inspired me to do this, and the people here love him. This is Trump country without a doubt.
And you have a very big event today, and then President Trump is coming again, I think, to Ohio. I think he closes out everything in Ohio on Monday. Well, talk to me about this event that's going to take place basically as soon as you get off the interview here.
So tonight we're having a town hall. President Trump's going to call in virtually, and we've sent messages to all of the Republicans, all of the independents throughout the district, and we're anticipating a very big turnout. From the explanation that President Trump gave me, he's undefeated when he holds these town halls for candidates, and he chose me to be one of the recipients. And we're going to be down at the rally in Dayton, Ohio, with J.D. Vance, and we're going to close out the show, and Ohio's going to lead the way.
No, it's really impressive. They're going to close. This shows you how close Ohio is to President Trump's heart and how important a state is, and particularly guys like you and J.D. to win. How do people – I want all of our audience to know at 6 o'clock – how do people get to this town hall if they want to go ahead and watch it?
They can just call in. It's going to be virtual, so I believe it's all over the phone. I'm not sure if there's going to be anything visual, but they can just call the number 419-827-3326. I'll be introducing President Trump, and nothing's pre-scripted. He's going to take it away, and I'm confident he's going to get people excited to get out and vote for Marcy Kaptur's retirement.
With President Trump in these things, there's never a script. One more time, slowly, give that number, JR, in case people want to join.
It is 419-827-3326.
JR Majewski, how do people go find out about the campaign? How do they find out about you, sir?
JR Majewski, the number 4congress.com, and I'm on all of the other forms of social media like the rest of you great deplorables out there.
JR, I love the ad. Keep pounding. Good luck tonight at the town hall, and have a great rally next week with President Trump.
Thank you, sir. We'll be calling you on November 8th or 9th, letting you know we won.
We'll be following it on game day. We're going to do huge coverage here, so we'll be following you. We'll be hopefully the first to announce it. The
Fantastic.
Victory of JR Majewski. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Let's go to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
All right, J.R. Majewski, the next congressional representative from Ohio's 9th district, kicking Marcy Kaptur to the curb. J.R. is going to win on November 8th, and yours truly is also going to be doing a special election marathon with myself and several other of my podcaster friends. We're going to be bringing you the results as they come in. And I got to say, Steve, I'm going to try to be the first one to announce that J.R. Majewski is the winner here on this channel. So we'll see how it goes. Steve has a slightly larger reach than I do, but I'm going to do my best to ensure that we get you the news as soon as it happens. All right, you guys, let's talk about David DePape and Paul Pelosi. So we have the 911 call, at least the portion with the dispatcher. And this is one of the major red flags that what happened is not what the Democrats and what the San Francisco Police Department are saying. So if we would believe that David DePape was an attacker, some type of right-wing extremist conspiracy theorist who wanted to do some harm to Nancy and Paul Pelosi, that he broke into the home of Paul Pelosi, and then once inside, he disrobed, held Paul Pelosi hostage, and then allowed him to go to the bathroom to call 911. But once he was on the phone with 911, that's where the story really starts to fall apart. You see, he told the 911 dispatcher that he didn't know who the male assailant was. But then, in the same breath, he said, his name is David, and he is a friend. Now, let me ask you this. If this was even a case of Stockholm syndrome, I don't think that you would be calling your assailant, your kidnapper, a friend. David DePape also happens to be an illegal immigrant from Canada, an illegal alien. Let's say it how we mean it. So David DePape did not have the legal right to be here in the United States of America. He was also a cameraman. So evidently he was involved in the media in some way. JR sent me an image earlier today showing that he was in Washington, D.C. with a camera. Now, I've heard people say that that was on January 6th, but I haven't found anything to verify that David DePape was there on January 6th. Nothing like that. So some people in the chat are asking who won the election in Brazil. I think the election was stolen in Brazil in the same way it was stolen from President Trump here in 2020, because Lula da Silva, a globalist, a communist, a criminal, a convicted criminal in Brazil, has eked out the closest win ever in the history of Brazil. It sounds very familiar to what we saw here, late night ballot dumps and all of that. You know, at the end of the initial election, when they had to do the runoff, you know, I felt that those results were fake at that time, too. So clearly, Jair Bolsonaro is not the candidate the globalists want in power. And they have electronic voting machines there in Brazil in the same way as we do here. So Lula da Silva is the official winner of the Brazilian election. But I think it's garbage. All right. So Paul Pelosi told this 911 dispatcher that David DePape was his friend, that he was a friend and his name was David. Let's go ahead and listen to this audio from the call itself. This is police dispatch speaking with the 911 operator. They refer to him as RP, that is reporting person. Let's take a listen.
Northern 4 car, A priority 910, 2640 Broadway, cross of Scott and Normandy. Hey, 14 hour copy. RP stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. Is a friend? RP sounded somewhat confused. 12 over, back and copy.
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, what kind of a self-respecting kidnapper is going to allow your subject to get away to the bathroom with a cell phone? Okay, that doesn't sound to me that Paul Pelosi or whoever it was under any type of duress. He certainly wasn't being held in any danger. He's confused. I tend to think Paul Pelosi was doing drugs. I tend to think that he met David DePape through an app like Grindr, had him show up at his home. They engaged in some type of sexual congress, and then maybe Paul Pelosi didn't want to pay him. Maybe they did too many drugs, and David DePape started wigging out. I did see somebody in the chat say that David DePape is giving Canadians a bad name. I want to be very clear here. David DePape may be an illegal immigrant. He may have committed some stupid acts in his time, but in no way should anyone feel that the actions of David DePape are representative of anyone else from Canada. This is a problem that they try to stick on us here in America as well. They want us to feel guilty about who we are and about any association we might have to any evil that has ever been committed in the history of mankind. You know, like when they look at people and they say, oh, you know, because white people used to own slaves. Well, guess what? Black people used to own slaves as well. Jewish people owned slaves as well. Europeans, you know, Asians, across the board, slavery was like what happened in the world. When you conquered a people, you took them as prisoner and you used them for free labor. And oftentimes they raped the women and they killed the children. All right. Well, I'm not trying to discount every single race on the face of planet Earth because they did something bad to my ancestors at some point in the history continuum. No one has the market on that. Nobody can corner that and say, I've suffered more than anyone else, you know, and frankly, it's bullshit that it's happened more recently than that. Because right now we've got people dying. We've got people that are being genocided. We've got horrible things happening all over the world and nobody cares. Look at what happened in the Middle East. Look at what we did to the Middle East. OK, and as a result, now they have pushed all of these migrants all over the world. These people who are, you know, on average an 80 IQ, who don't have any idea of how to use modern plumbing, who are being forced into confined situations. In England, there is a like a refugee camp. It's a building. It's meant to house like 1500 people. They've had like 3000 people in there. People get stuffed into a situation like that. They become animals. They start killing each other. They start knifing each other. It's absolutely ridiculous. So we have like an illegal alien from Mexico comes over here, murders somebody. I don't look at it and say, Mexicans are bad people. That was a bad dude. You know, David DePape, if he did what they say he did, he was a bad dude, probably fairly mentally unbalanced. And I think that's really, really it. What are you guys talking about, Cubans? Somebody called me today and said, Zach, you are so tan. You look like you're Cuban. Okay. Also, well, just wanted to show this off. This is the home of David DePape. Well, this is one of his homes because there was another one that they showed off. But you can see there's a pride flag, a pride American flag with little marijuana leaves on it right in front of this house. Now, let's talk about some of the other strange things with this. There was another report initially when the police arrived. David DePape and Paul Pelosi were fighting over this hammer, and DePape got it from Pelosi and smashed him in the face with it. But someone let them in the door so that they could get inside. And this flies in the narrative that David DePape broke open the door to gain access to the home. Another thing about it, when you take a look at the broken glass, let's watch this video right here.
Joined now by our investigative correspondent, Tom Winter. So, Tom, we know that there's multiple law enforcement agencies.
All right. So this is not going to be just a simple thing. So they're going to be talking about David DePape. But I just want you to see the glass. OK, right here. Take a look at the glass. The glass is smashed from the inside out. OK, that's not what happens when you're breaking a window. Also, this looks to be bulletproof glass, so it doesn't appear like the type of glass that just breaks and you just gain entry. That doesn't look like a body would be able to slide through there. The other thing is, while they were fighting over the hammer, police initially said someone opened the door for them, not David DePape, not Paul Pelosi. Was Paul Pelosi having a gay orgy while he was there, while David DePape was visiting the home? I think that sounds a lot more likely than David DePape was a crazy QAnon conspiracy theorist who showed up looking for Nancy Pelosi in the middle of the night, carrying a bundle of zip ties and invoking the horror of January 6th. So the other question about this is, if David DePape did climb through that window, then why wouldn't he have been covered in all kinds of glass scratches and gashes and stuff like that? You know, the police department keeps going back to this. I can confirm Mr. DePape forced entry into a rear door at the rear of the Pelosi home. If David DePape forced that door open, then why were the police not able to get through that door when they got to the home? That just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Here's another image of that glass, clearly showing that it's been broken from the inside out. The other question that I have is, what about all the security cameras? I've seen a number of pictures from the outside of the Pelosi home, there apparently is no footage from the night that this took place. Also, if the police arrived at that back door while David DePape and Paul Pelosi were wrestling over that hammer, and they saw DePape beating Pelosi with a hammer, that would be on body cam footage. That would be on the police body cam footage. You can bet I'm going to be filing a FOIA request for that specific body cam footage. All body cam footage from police who responded to Nancy and Paul Pelosi's home. But take a look here. You can see this. Every single corner of the home is covered by a security camera. You can't go anywhere near the Pelosi's. Now, I don't know if this was the same after that guy took a dump in their driveway. They might have put these cameras up because they didn't want any more turd burgers in front of their garage door. But that's neither here nor there because they've got the cameras. All right. So this footage went someplace. These are not your average everyday security cameras. These are going to be cameras that are going directly to some type of security service, which would mean that if DePape showed up in a rage, going buck wild, trying to get into the house, they would have been the ones to alert the police about this. But they didn't alert the police about this. This was apparently Paul Pelosi calling from the confines of his bathroom. If he was allowed to go to the bathroom and call the police, then why wouldn't he just stay in the bathroom? Why did he come out with a hammer? I suppose, you know, we can always go back to the old standard that Paul Pelosi was drunk or on drugs. That's the only thing that makes any sense, really. So this is another thing about this. David DePape had all of these websites, blog entries, posts about QAnon and posts about the election and posts about COVID. It was just way too perfect. As soon as he was arrested, they had this narrative. It was like they had a dossier all pre-planned to show that David DePape was part of everything in America that is dangerous to the security of our democracy, according to the Democrats. So they're saying that he is a conservative who broke into Paul Pelosi's home. But as you can see, I showed you earlier, the home that he lived in, no self-respecting conservative is going to live inside of a bus that's attached to a house in front of a street where people are shooting up and taking a dump in the gutter. And if you take a look at the rest of his posts, he also has some stuff that's connected to left-wing things. You know, if you want to give this guy any type of political party, maybe he was just a libertarian. You know, maybe he was, I don't know, somebody who just didn't like tyranny. And I won't begrudge him that. I have no problem with that. Let's go ahead and take a look at these two websites. So Fox News reported Facebook disabled DePape's profile early Friday. Now, this is something they always do. They tell us there is all of this evidence on their Facebook page or on their Twitter page or on their website. And then before we get a chance to take a look at it, or before many people have had a chance to take a look at it, they pull it down. So we have no idea. So we have two online blogs that are under David DePape's names, and they're stocked with posts from 2007 to 2022, speaking about censorship, Big Brother, and pedophiles. Maybe DePape was there as a vigilante. Who knows? One contained calls for violence and anti-Semitic content. Of course, they have to throw in the anti-Semitic content. It was not immediately clear that he was responsible for the posts, and San Francisco police did not immediately respond to questions about DePape's online presence. We have another article from the LA Times as well. In the months before police accused him of attacking House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's home, DePape had been drifting further into the world of far-right conspiracies, anti-Semitism, and hate. In a personal blog that DePape maintained, posts included such topics as manipulation of history. That's actually something they do. Holla hoax, and it's okay to be white. He mentioned 4chan. Are they trying to go after 4chan again? He also posted videos about conspiracies involving COVID-19 vaccines, which are not conspiracies, and the war in Ukraine being a ploy for Jewish people to buy land. That's the first time I've heard that one in particular. But he also included posts about the eponymous QAnon, an unfounded theory that former President Trump is at war with a cabal of Satan-worshipping elites who run a child sex ring and control the world. Sounds legit. The Times also said DePape followed a number of conservative creators online. I'd like to know who he also followed besides these people. Tim Pool. Oh, my God. The violence and the horror of Tim Pool. Glenn Beck, The Daily Wire, and The Epoch Times. He also followed an account on YouTube called Blackpilled, so do I, and reposted several of its videos on his blog. Blackpilling is internet slang for coming to believe supposedly unacceptable facts about society, and the reposted videos include accusations such as the FBI is covering up child rape. Did anyone watch the Larry Nassar trial? Because that's exactly what the FBI did. The FBI covered up child rape for years. They allowed this guy to operate. And this is not the first time the FBI has done things to cover up for people who have a lot of money or some type of power and prestige. You know, when you're a doctor for the girls' gymnastics team at Michigan State University and you're able to operate out in the open like this, and the FBI is told about what you're doing and they willfully ignore it and they decide not to do investigations and instead they just let you keep raping kids, I would call that covering up child rape. And I doubt it was the first time, and I doubt it was the last time. So these websites that DePape supposedly created were no longer active on Saturday. The site that one of them is called godisloving.wordpress.com, that was shut down on Saturday. The other site listed friendlyfriends.com/blog. All right. So here's what it says in the registration information. David DePape, they have his address is 1822 Shasta Street in Richmond, Alabama. Richmond, Alabama. From what I understand, David DePape lived in San Francisco. And David DePape was in San Francisco. We also have another one. This one's private, though. So it's showing the domains by proxy, which is out of Tempe, Arizona. Now, one of the accounts mandated that you become a member, but this functionality was not working on Friday morning per one of the sources. So you had to join by creating a membership and then paying money. Then apparently they have the LGBTQ unicorn. So I doubt that David DePape actually did this. Let's go ahead and check out this address here. 1822 Shasta Street, Richmond, Alabama. Let's check that out. 1822 Shasta Street. Ooh, too many E's. Richmond, Alabama. Let's take a look here. Oh, it's for sale on Zillow. Oh, that's in Richmond, California. That's interesting. Okay, so this may be his, but it doesn't actually look like any of the homes that we've seen that they've put pictures out for. And maybe Zillow is actually blocking it because they don't want people looking at it. It says that it's off market. Normally, when you click on a home, you can go ahead and take a look at it, even if it's not for sale. But they do appear to be blocking it. All right. So where is Richmond, California? Let's see. Richmond, California. Let's see how far from San Francisco it is. Actually, this looks like it might be in San Francisco. Yeah. This looks to be fairly close to San Francisco. It's got to be because there's the bay. Yep, there's San Francisco right there across the way. All right, so maybe that was him. But either way, it does appear to be a little bit sus. Let's see if we can't get to the archive of it. Let's take a look. Oh, that was the archive. Oh, good for them. Nope, this is just the information about that. Okay, so godisloving.wordpress.com. Let's find that. godisloving.wordpress.com. Let's see if we can find that. Yes. Okay. Oh, they won't even allow us to go to the archive. Ugh. Good Lord. They really cover their bases, don't they, guys? They do not want people looking into this stuff, probably because as soon as people do, it all begins to fall apart. All right, so what else do we have here? David DePape could never have fit through that hole because he was a grown-ass man, and that's 12 inches right there. That's not glass that's just going to break away. That is bulletproof glass. Now that time has passed and people are talking about this and nobody's buying the news that they're giving us, some of these mainstream outlets are beginning to retract things that they said. So initially that report that they were in their underwear, Fox News apparently is retracting it. What do you want to bet Paul Ryan has something to do with that? Yeah, has Nancy Pelosi talked about this yet? I haven't heard her say anything. You know, if my spouse was attacked in our home and something happened and they ended up in a hospital, the first thing I would do would be to go make a statement about it. But Nancy Pelosi seems to be rather quiet about what's happening. It seems like this would be the first thing she would do. Let's see what they're saying.
That's absolutely right, Hallie. We're learning some very chilling specifics about what happened at the house you see behind me. According to a Pelosi family member, the attacker broke into the house through a backyard window using that hammer, and Paul Pelosi was home alone at that time. The attacker then told Paul Pelosi that he intended to tie Mr. Pelosi up and then to wait for his wife, the Speaker of the House, to come home. And at that point, somehow Paul Pelosi had the quick reaction, the quick instincts to wait until the intruder was distracted and then managed to dial 911 to summon police while that was happening. Police then arrived to find the attacker trying to tie Mr. Pelosi up. The attacker then told them that he was going to wait for Nancy, and that is the time when Mr. Pelosi was then struck multiple times by a hammer.
All right. So that doesn't make any sense either. The police were talking to him. He told them that he was going to wait for Nancy and then hit Paul Pelosi with a hammer. I don't buy it. I don't buy a single thing about it. But, you know, what I do buy once again is that Paul Pelosi is probably a closeted gay man. They live in San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi has, you know, who knows what she's into. I don't think it really matters at this point. But I think that they have had a marriage of convenience all these years, and the fact that David DePape was also a nudist, that just, I guess that you can be conservative and like to be naked too. So I can't draw any conclusions from that. But you know, it's like somebody being upset that David DePape was Canadian. It's the same thing as the mainstream media trying to tie him to the conservative right. Because they found some posts that he had purportedly made. But I guess he has a history of drug abuse and unusual behavior, according to people who know him. We actually do have a statement from his neighbor that I wanted to share with you guys. I haven't even watched it yet, but Jack Posobiec put this out early yesterday. Let's take a listen.
Our vehicle was out of commission. I was walking past and Gypsy's son was with a small little girl and he was on the bus. And the little girl and Gypsy's son were walking away from the bus and the guy remained on the bus. And that's when I recognized his face. That's the only time I ever saw his face was within like the last month or so or a couple weeks.
Do you know how long he stayed?
Okay, that's interesting. Nobody saw David DePape until just a couple of weeks ago. He sounds like a plant. They took a crazy person. They filled his head with a bunch of garbage, told him to make some posts online, had him show up at Paul Pelosi's house. They said, you know, Paul, don't worry. This guy's a drug addict. He's a whack job. You'll be able to, you know, call 911 real quick. His name is David, by the way, just in case he goes apeshit.
Doing that a couple months ago?
No, we try to just avoid them at all costs.
Okay.
Until they, you know, bother us.
Okay, but so the last time you saw him was a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he was here for a few days?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything strange about him or anything that stood out?
There's something strange about the whole household. The entire household is very, very strange.
How about him?
He is birds of a feather with akin to them. So they are just, you know, nudist drug abusers, and that's who gravitates toward them.
And the children, I'm sorry, the children who live there, they seem to be underage or under 18.
I'm not sure how old they are.
Okay.
If they're children, they're underage.
And Trisha, again, what do you say their politics are?
I'm not sure. I would imagine that they're more left-leaning because of their support for the gay community and for... I'm sorry for other people, but it is... Now I'm not sure what way they lean because
they have the flag, the LGBT flag with the hat.
Yeah. So.
But any signs of anti-Semitism?
You know, they are completely unhinged, so I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah.
Nothing that they believe in aligns with their actions. So they'll say that they are, you know, pro Black lives, and then they'll call the police on Black people. Mm-hmm. And they don't stand by their actions. Don't stand by their words.
So some paranoid behavior. It sounds
like. Absolutely.
And some psychotic behavior too.
Yes.
Okay.
Was that also demonstrated when David was the president, or was that?
Yeah.
Times when.
Yeah, it's never changed how they've acted.
David acted the same way.
From what I saw of him, he's never approached me or my partner at all. But I've just seen him helping out around the house with like yard work. And then I saw him living on the bus. I've never even heard him speak.
Did you know his name or you just recognize his picture?
I didn't recognize his name, but I also don't know the name of the kids either.
Okay. You just recognize his picture from today.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
That is him.
We think he's the father of some of them?
Not sure at all, okay. But if he is, their mom told me that there was abusive nature in their father. So if it is him, then he has abused his own children.
What's your full name, please?
I can't. I don't want to. Just
yeah, I don't want to tell you, mainstream media, what my name is. I wouldn't want to tell them either. Oh, God, those vultures, leeches. Absolutely horrific stuff. Okay, so this is going back to the idea that there was somebody else in the house. Well, the police are now saying that it was only Paul Pelosi and David DePape. Nobody else was there, but he did bring duct tape, zip ties, and a hammer, and nothing else. You know, if I was going to bring all that stuff, at least I would have worn cargo pants or something to carry that stuff. This is absolutely ridiculous that they are trying to sell people on this. New, the San Francisco PD tells NBC News that Paul Pelosi and the accused attacker David DePape did not know each other prior to the assault at the Pelosi home on Friday. The SFPD also says there were only two people inside the Pelosi home when they responded, clarifying statements made at Friday's press conference, which seemed to indicate there was a third person inside the home who opened the door. Is that what this clip up here is? Let me go ahead and take a listen.
When the officers arrived and knocked on the front door of the residence this morning, the door was opened by someone inside, and the officers observed through the open door Mr. Pelosi and the suspect, Mr. DePape, inside the entryway of the home.
All right, so if you're in the midst of beating somebody to death with a hammer, the last thing you're going to do is turn and welcome the police into the home, opening the locked door for them, and then return to the business of beating your kidnapping victim to death with a hammer. That just absolutely is a shocking assertion for them to say that nobody else was there except for DePape, DePape, and Paul Pelosi. So apparently Elon Musk was discussing this on Twitter. He called out Hillary Clinton for sharing an LA Times article that apparently tried to paint Paul Pelosi's attacker as a far right wing conspiracy theorist. Musk responded to Hillary Clinton saying, "There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye," and then proceeded to link an article titled "The Awful Truth, Paul Pelosi Was Drunk Again and in a Dispute with a Male Prostitute Early Friday Morning." Love it. Absolutely love it. I want to get to that article. We located a copy of a copy of the article and provided segments. As San Francisco's gay bars close at 2 a.m., two gay men met in a bar and went home together. Happens every night in the city by the bay, except one of these two men was married to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. "I might disappear for telling you the truth. If I do, you'll all know why. But here's what really happened early Friday morning in San Francisco, in my humble opinion. According to SFPD, RP stated there's a male in the home that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he's a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. It's been a rumor for years in San Francisco that Paul Pelosi is gay. David DePape is said to be a Castro nudist. The lunatic who allegedly assaulted Paul Pelosi is a Berkeley resident and a former Castro nudist protester and hemp jewelry maker. Sounds totally MAGA Republican to me. Okay, so here's the theory, as relayed to me by a source. Castro nudists are a group of really radical gay male prostitutes that parade around naked with certain implements on their genitals. First of all, the police did not come in response to an alarm. They came in response to a wellness check, so someone called them to check on Pelosi. When he didn't answer the phone, the cops broke the sliding glass door to get in. Pelosi was struggling with the suspect, who was in his underwear. Pelosi owned the hammer, not DePape. Or the male prostitute was doing something Pelosi didn't like. And then there was the press conference where they didn't know the mic was on. During that, a reporter confirmed that the suspect was a gay Castro nudist, but authorities told him he couldn't use it. Oh, my God. I have to get a copy of that. Now, tell me something.
These are, people are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nancy is third in line to be the president. You don't think they have the most amazing security? And by the way, when Pelosi was in that drunk driving accident, he had a young man with him. And that, too, was covered up by the police and the press. How would DePape have been able to break a window without triggering an alarm? He didn't. The police broke the window to gain entry. There was only one hammer, and it belonged to Pelosi. And only one cop quoted the perpetrator saying, "Where's Nancy?" None of the other sources said that it happened. And one of them could easily have broken that window. Remember, there was no alarm triggered. How would DePape have gotten into that house without doing it? The cops smashed glass to gain entry. I think we have the whole story now, guys. I mean, this is just, you know, that's it. I'm pretty certain that that's exactly what happened. All right. So speaking about Elon Musk. Yeah. Why didn't the alarm go off? Because there was no alarm on. Paul Pelosi was home. You don't arm the alarm after you come home at 2 a.m. with a gay prostitute. He wasn't thinking he was going to have to put the alarm on. Oh, my God. I'm dying here. Okay. So you guys know about Elon Musk buying Twitter. That's old news. But I mentioned this on Truth Social the other day. He apparently fired all of the top executives. That includes that trust and safety lawyer who was responsible for the deletion of President Donald Trump. That includes former CEO Parag Agrawal and a number of other people. Now, when they were initially fired, it was reported that they were going to leave with these golden parachutes. They were going to be able to walk away from Twitter with many tens of millions of dollars. Like Parag Agrawal, for example, he was scheduled to get a $42 million payday if he was let go before the end of his contract. But here's the catch. If these people were fired with cause, that means if there was a good reason to fire them, then Twitter and Elon Musk don't have to pay that golden parachute. And that's exactly what he did. These group of executives at Twitter were probably the largest detractors of freedom of speech here in America. It was directly their fault, their responsibility that people were deleted from Twitter in the way that they were, certainly why President Trump was. So now they are gone. Elon Musk is the only executive at Twitter at this point. And he's also uncovering evidence of the Twitter executives lying to him and to the SEC. Now that Elon Musk has control of Twitter, he's got control of everything. All right. I am certain that Elon Musk is going to bring this evidence to the proper authorities, and it's going to be so voluminous, they're not going to be able to look past it. So Parag Agrawal, as I said, was supposed to walk away with $42 million. He was the CEO of the company for less than a year. The top lawyer, Vijaya Gadde, she earned $17 million in 2021. And she's the one who was crying when Elon Musk bought the company. She was going to get a $12.5 million payout. And then the ex-CFO, Ned Siegel, this was actually the man behind Donald Trump's ban on Twitter. He was supposed to get $25.4 million after he got fired. However, because they were all fired with cause, they are not going to receive those payouts. And I think that that is quite incredible. I don't know. You don't have to think Elon Musk is like the best thing since sliced bread. But like I said so many times before, I think that it is perfectly acceptable for us to celebrate the wins where we see them. I absolutely love that he did it in this way. And I look forward to seeing everything that Elon Musk does in the future. Now, I kind of want to talk about the Kanye West controversy, because he's gotten dropped by like every single brand that he worked with. I think his label dropped him. You know, he is persona non grata. He is now being attacked by the mainstream media complex. Yeah, $42 million gone, absolutely gone. I hope that Parag Agrawal was able to save up some money, because his resume ain't going to be worth shit after this. Nobody's going to want to hire him because he ran Twitter right into the ground. He handed it over with a bunch of evidence of illegal actions right over to Elon Musk. Okay, so good. But getting back to Kanye West. Now, everyone has their panties in a tizzy. Because Kanye West, yay, said that the media is controlled by Jewish people. And that's not a lie, okay? That doesn't mean that that's an anti-Semitic comment to make. and I can't speak to the individual interactions Kanye has had with people at record labels, but I know by and large many of them are Jewish. Now, that doesn't mean that every single Jewish person is in collusion with every other Jewish person. You know, that would be like saying that every single black person is in collusion with every other black person, or every white person is in collusion with every other white person. But in my opinion, just pointing out the fact that the media is controlled by and large by people of Jewish faith or Jewish descendancy, there was nothing racist about that. There was nothing anti-Semitic about that. And this is one of those tropes that the mainstream media and these people in power like to catch people in. You know, I saw an interesting clip of Charlemagne the God from like 10 years ago talking about what is essentially like the Jewish mafia that runs these entertainment companies, whether it's the recording industry or film and television. You know, Jewish people do stand together on stuff like this. Like if somebody says, hey, we're going to go after Kanye, it seems like, you know, there's a concerted effort to go ahead and do it. And maybe that's just because the people in the media happen to be Jewish, but they're also leftists. And it's the leftist in them that is causing them to do the destroying of the people they don't like. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that I don't think that Kanye did or said anything that was incorrect when he pointed out that many people who are in positions of power in these industries also happen to be Jewish. If you ask a Jewish person, you know, are there a preponderance of Jewish people that are working in these industries? They'll tell you. They're proud of it. There's nothing wrong with it unless you're not Jewish and then you say it. So, you know, That's it. That's what I'm saying, and I just feel like it's not right. You know, we got to be honest about everything, okay? You know, and how many times have we talked about the problems with Israel? You know, I mean, Israel has had a tremendous strong hand in some global events that have taken place over the years, and that doesn't mean that all Jewish people were responsible for those things. You know, it's like looking at World War II, you know, saying like, you know, so the Nazis, they did some bad things in World War II. Does that mean that you're going to hate all German people for all of eternity? I mean, how long are those people going to have to suffer, you know? I mean, they're still under the thumb of the international community. I think at a certain point, you got to get past it. You got to get over it, all right? We can't keep blaming the sins of ancestors on the people of today. It just does not make any sense. And people who will look at the entertainment industry and say that it's somehow anti-Semitic to say that there's a bunch of Jewish people that are controlling it. I mean, you're just moronic. You're just not willing to accept the truth. You know, this is not a value judgment. It's just an honest fact. You know, there's no way around it. So we have this guy, Ari Emanuel, who is the CEO of Endeavor. That's an entertainment and media agency. They own the UFC. He wrote an op-ed for the Financial Times on Wednesday where he argued that Kanye's mental illness does not excuse his anti-Semitic and racist comments. What did he say that was racist? Some of West's behavior has been dismissed over time, citing mental illness, given that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder after being hospitalized in 2016. However, mental illness is not an excuse for racism, hatred, or anti-Semitism. Millions of people affected by mental illness do not perpetuate hateful ideologies. Others brush his comments off just as words, but hateful words far too easily become hateful actions. So West tweeted that he intended to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. I think maybe he meant DEFCON 3, but maybe he did mean DEFCON 3. From what I heard him say is that, you know, he was speaking in response to specific actions that were committed against him in his life, you know, and at a certain point, you mean you got to take a look at the totality of the situation. We have Adidas, Gap, Balenciaga, and Vogue also severing their ties. So what did he say? Ari Emanuel. I lost $2 billion in one day and I'm still alive. This is love speech. I still love you. God still loves you. The money is not who I am. The people is who I am. Kanye West lost $2 billion in a single day. Guys, that is a lot of money. That's Zuckerberg money right there. I don't know how much money Kanye is supposed to have, but $2 billion in a single day for making the decision to come forward and just speak true from the heart, you know, I got to say, you know, I respect Kanye, and I definitely want to hear what he has to say. I would love to have him on the show. I don't know that that's even a possibility. I would attempt to have him on the show, though. You guys, we've got about 10 minutes before. Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, you're not allowed to talk shit about anybody from that tribe. I mean, that's just it. You know, it's an attack on one, it's an attack on all. I think we need to be looking at people as individuals. You know, I mean, like, what is the bad behavior of a single person? I'm not even looking at their religion. I'm not looking at their ethnicity. I'm looking at the morality of their decisions and the things that they do. You know, are they willing to hurt people? Do they want to destroy someone for having an opinion that's outside the norm? You know, I think it's a travesty what they've done. Over here on the Foxhole, Sean Joe, thank you for that cookie. Tanette Booth, thank you for that cookie as well. Hey, Greenbeard, I see you out there, buddy. Good to see you. Sean Joe, appreciate that cookie. Red Pill Ken, my man. He says, J.R. Majewski, patriot, Dave DePape, a leftist, now being dressed up as being MAGA. Absolutely, 100% correct. Greenbeard, thank you for that cookie. Annette Walls, good to see you, dropping a cookie. K. Ronnie, good to see you as well, dropping a cookie. Paulie, 9363, with some shades. Warrior for Jesus says, may God bless you and your family, brother. Thanks for all you do. I wish the exact same to every single one of you guys. I hope that God blesses each and every one of you, gives you as much as you can handle, all of the bounty that you need, everything in life necessary to be successful, to know his love, and to be a warrior not only for Christ but also for America, because God knows we need you. Sean Joe, thank you for that cookie. Empress, good to see you with the cookie. Just Ducky says, I drove around Sandusky last week and the amount of JR signs were amazing. I love hearing that. Thank you, Sean Anon, good to see you. Heavy sigh, sorry bro, didn't know you were live. Hey, it's okay, bud. I said something this morning when I was live with Nate Kane talking about the True the Vote stuff, and I didn't announce it ahead of time. I just, you know, life is a whirl right now. Empress also dropping 145 gold pills. Thank you very much. Yeah, Scott Fish, the content of your character, Holmes. You know, I mean, like, this is not always about national origin. It's not always about religion. It's not always about, you know, your sex or, like, you know, who you go home with at night. You know, I mean, I'm talking about the content of your character. What kind of person are you? You know, are you an evil, sadistic son of a bitch? Are you the kind of person who will defend child molesters? Are you the kind of person who wants to use the United States for your own personal gain? Are you the kind of person who would relegate the entirety of the citizenry of America to second class status so that you can implement a one world government? Then get the F out. I got no time for you. We got a mission here, guys. We are saving this nation. Let me get the town hall on the line, and let me show you guys real quick. We've got where is it?
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Here we go. All right. If you guys want to join this town hall, hang on. Let me call first, okay? Just do me a favor. Let me call first. 419-827-3326.
Thank you for joining the Telerally. We will be getting started in just a few moments.
All right. We're on the phone. All right, I'm going to turn that down. In short, are you Rob Reiner?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we're going to turn that down until we get to the actual time for the town hall. All right, Ankavanka, good to see you out there, friend. Thanks very much for hanging out with us tonight, guys. Yeah, they're totally brainwashed, Vector. You're absolutely right. What about Berkeley? The whole college claims to be anti-Semitic. This is the thing. You know, it's like the left and this crazy rhetoric that they've created, they have, You know, I wouldn't put it past him. All right. If let's take a look at some marginalized communities. You've got fake hate crimes that have been committed, unfortunately, by black people against black people in an attempt to blame white supremacists, or in their minds, it's all white people. You know, I think the Berkeley thing looks like a psyop that is designed to create the illusion that there is a lot more anti-Semitism than there actually is. Like, I can't imagine anybody would be stupid enough to create a Jew-free zone on the College of Berkeley, on the Berkeley campus. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Seems totally outside of the boundaries of reality. I don't understand why the university itself would allow for that to happen. Just doesn't make any sense. I think that's a false flag. All right, AOC, hopefully you're ready for the town hall with J.R. Majewski. If you guys want to call in and try to ask questions yourself, you can do so at 419-827-3326. We are going to be listening to the town hall here. I doubt that I'm going to get on to ask a question. And to be honest with you, I think that most people are probably not going to. I don't know even if President Trump is taking questions. All I know is that he's doing this town hall with JR. And you guys, I got to be honest with you. We've got to do everything we can to support JR. Okay. He truly is an American hero. He and his wife have sacrificed so much in the pursuit of this race. Marcy Kaptur and the Democrats, the mainstream media, they've done everything they can to try to destroy our boy. Okay, they have disparaged him, his record, his politics, the people he hangs out with, all of it. All of it. Because they don't care about America. They don't care about the people of Ohio's ninth. The only thing they care about is power. They want to keep that power, whether they're Jewish or Muslim, white, black, Italian, Irish. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. To them, what matters is that you've got the power. And if you happen to be one of those marginalized communities, then all the better, because they can use you as a dog whistle for their brainwashed followers. These people are sick. And you guys, this midterm cycle, we have an opportunity to really, really fundamentally change things in Washington, D.C. If we can get J.R. Majewski elected, it's going to be a landmark day. It's going to make history all across the nation. Can you imagine the headlines from the mainstream media the morning after that election? Red Pill 78, confidant J.R. Majewski elected in Ohio's 9th district. Can you imagine? Can you see the heads of Alex and those shills at Media Matters exploding overnight? I need to get oh God, you know what? I didn't even get a chance to talk about these DHS leaks. Oh, I will tell you this, guys. Okay, so tonight at 10:30, I'm going to be on Baseless Conspiracy Theories with myself and John over on Patel Patriot and Badlands Media. I'm going to be on tomorrow, Occam's Razor, but then on Wednesday, I have Altered State with Brad, and then Thursday, I have Occam's Razor, and then I'm going to be a guest on the Beheezy channel. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Beheezy, he is on Rumble. I know he used to be on YouTube. I followed him a long time ago, back when I was still on YouTube. But he is on Rumble, and he's having me on to talk about the lawsuit, the Google lawsuit. And we are going to talk about these DHS leaks. So apparently the DHS began meeting with Twitter, Facebook, Wikipedia, and more for monthly meetings to coordinate the content moderation efforts that they hoped to use to silence Republicans and silence conservative alternative journalists like myself and like many of you out there. God bless you, JVA. So this is a chocolate spoon I was supposed to put in my coffee and I forgot. Hey, what's up, TikToks? Oh, and I got 412 on Thursday, too. That's right. Oh, honey, I think I bit into the wood. Yeah, I bit the wood. But it didn't work out. It didn't work out the way I hoped. Okay. So, yeah, Be Heezy. I think that'll be Thursday night at 10. I'll have the the link for you guys. Let me see here. Trump One says, good evening, Zach. Hang 10 Alien Surfer, good to see a friend lurking and working. Tick Talks says, what up, my local red pill dealer, Keck. I love it. Yes, no more blinders. David DePape and Paul Pelosi were known to each other. He was a friend named David. A friend named David that he picked up at a bar and allowed him into his home. I'm going to press the mute button on my phone so I don't accidentally start talking into this thing. I am super excited. Ethereal Alchemy. Yeah, it sucks to bite wood. Oh, I really wanted all that chocolate, too. Hang on. I keep thinking that maybe I can make it work, but now it's just like full of splinters and stuff. Yeah. I'm just making a mess at this point. Okay. Tumor. So, this information coming out about the DHS, I mean, this might actually have an impact on the censorship we're seeing in this country. I mean, this is against the law. We're talking about the United States government coordinating with private companies all across America, the mouthpiece of the American people, to silence individuals like us from having an opinion online, for being able to openly talk about the things that we have researched, that we believe, that we understand. It's not fair. The United States has become a shadow of its former self. And once again, that's why we need people like J.R. Majewski in office. It is now 6 p.m. I'm anticipating this call to start any second. Why? You guys can't hear this, can you? There we go. There it goes. Hey, you guys, do me a favor. Don't forget to hit that plus sign. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up, whatever it might be. Share the show. Get it out there. The more people that know about J.R. Majewski, how great he is for Russia, how great he is for Ohio. Oh, God, they're going to love me for that one. They're going to take that one and run with it, aren't they? People, you know, people either love Laura or they hate her. I think she's a spectacular troll. And there's sometimes that's, you know, that's what you need. You need somebody who's going to cause a little bit of controversy. Oh, here.
Thank you for joining the Telerally.
Here we go.
Donald J. Trump and candidate for United States Congress in Ohio's 9th Congressional District, J.R. Majewski. My name is Lindy, and I'll be your moderator this evening. At the conclusion of President Trump's remarks, we'll be asking a special poll question, so please stay on the line. It is now my pleasure to introduce J.R. Majewski.
Well, thank you, Lindy. My name is J.R. Majewski, and I will be your next congressman in the 9th District of Ohio. It's an honor to be with President Trump and all of you that have joined us tonight on this Halloween. I know everybody is ready for the red wave that we're gonna see next Tuesday, November 8th, not only in the 9th District of Ohio, but throughout the rest of the country. And not only are we going to take back the House, but we will also be electing a Congress that is focused on taking back the White House in 2024. For those of you who don't already know, I was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. I'm an America First candidate and a veteran of the United States Air Force. And after serving my country, our country, I spent the last 20 years excelling in the nuclear power industry. I am running to bring back prosperity to our district, a district that has been forgotten for 40 years by left-wing limousine liberals and the lying train wreck that we know as Nancy Pelosi's gal pal, Marcy Kaptur. And with your support, we finally have hope and will reclaim Northwest Ohio and restore it to the Ohio that we love. I want to start us off with a quote from someone who I consider to be one of the world's greatest leaders. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. And today, I have the awesome honor of introducing this outsider, a man who, despite the odds, changed the paradigm of American politics, a man who stood firm by his principles, his promises, and his people. And through firm leadership and a caring heart, this outsider lowered our taxes, secured our border, strengthened our economy, saved us from a pandemic, strengthened our military, and made America energy dominant. But most of all, he taught us the importance of being brave and standing up for our country. He pulled back the curtain of secrecy, and brought transparency to our federal government. He held everyone accountable, and he said what was on his mind. Sharp, articulate, brash, and brave, he scared the hell out of the Democrats, and we loved him for it. And without further ado, it is my honor to introduce the greatest president in the United States history, President Donald J. Trump.
Well, JR, thank you very much. That was really nice. And hello, Ohio, one of my favorite places. We won it twice in landslides, so you like me and I like you. I'm calling to speak with you about a crucial election taking place that you all know about, November 8th. I'd like everyone to get out and vote for J.R. Majewski. He's fantastic. They tried to put false stories out about him and fought it, and we checked it out, and he is a hero. This is a great hero. That's disgraceful what they tried to do. And that's why we're sticking with him, because we found out it was just false nonsense, fake news. So I just want to let you know that right up front. And he is just an incredible guy with an incredible career. And I think he's going to have an unbelievable future. So we want him to be congressman from Ohio's 9th district. And you're going to be happy. You'll never regret it. JR is an Ohio native, a veteran, and a proud America First conservative who has been with our movement from the very, very beginning. JR has spent the last two decades working in the nuclear energy industry. He understands how vital it is to restore energy independence and energy dominance. That's where we were. We were absolutely energy dominant, and it was incredible that that's been closed down now by Biden, the Biden administration, and your prices are going through the roof, and you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till you see after the election when they stop stealing from the strategic reserve. But energy security is national security, and JR knows it better than anybody. As your congressman, JR will fight for more jobs for Ohio workers, just like I did. And we get along well with Ohio and Ohio workers because I brought business back there like nobody can believe. We worked in terms with your governor and your lieutenant governor, who are terrific, and we brought a lot of business back. And the American farmer, they like Trump, and they're going to like JR just as much as they like Trump. We made great deals for the American farmer. We got rid of NAFTA, and we put in just an unbelievable deal with Canada and Mexico. And they want to renegotiate the deal right now, as you know. And I said, you shouldn't do that, because they had their way for a long time, many, many decades. And now the deal is very much in our favor. JR is running against the radical left Democrat named Marcy Kaptur, a Washington swamp creature who's been in Congress for nearly four decades and gotten very little done, and not respected either. Automatic stamp. She's a rubber stamp, selling out the people of Ohio all the way. Kaptur is totally controlled by Nancy Pelosi and Biden and the radical left. She's about as radical left as there is in Congress, and I don't think that is what Ohio values are about. I know Ohio better than I know most places, and I don't think that's at all what Ohio's all about. She voted for every one of Joe Biden's reckless socialist spending bills, which right now are driving up everything. You're spending almost $1,000 a month on inflation. $1,000 a month. It's the worst, probably the worst it's ever been. And I think it's a lot higher than the numbers they announced, too, which you're just driving. And all of this is putting tremendous cost burdens and inflationary cost problems on the people of Ohio. And again, it's almost, if you think about this, the kind of numbers you're talking about are the family-shattering numbers. She voted in favor of Joe Biden's war on American energy. We were energy independent. We were soon going to be energy dominant. And by the way, being helped a lot by Ohio. And they just wanted to close it down, and they've closed it down, but we'll get it back. She voted against your Second Amendment rights. It's under siege, as you know, and I saved it. And if it wasn't me, it would have never been saved. JR will do a fantastic job in working with that, and voted repeatedly to give mass amnesty to illegal aliens. And you see them pouring in. We had the strongest border in history. I built the wall, and then I added to the wall, and we added a lot. And then when we just about had a ridiculous result in the election, as everybody on this call understands, ridiculous, a disgraceful result. And they decided that they weren't going to complete. 3 weeks they could have completed the additions that we were putting on. But we had the safest border in history, and now we have the worst border in history. And I think that includes third world countries, because no country would allow what's happening to our country. They're flowing in by the millions, and they're coming in from prisons of other countries. Last month, we had 129 countries represented of people coming in, but they're emptying out their prisons into the United States. It's a disgrace. So on November 8th, you need to get out and vote for JR to fight and really fight. This is a real fighter in Congress. When JR wins, we will end Democrats' wild spending sprees and stop inflation. We'll be able to also do that with the job we're going to do on energy, because energy started it. Now it's out of control. By the way, good luck on Thanksgiving. They say you can't get turkeys, and if you get them, you're going to have to pay three times more than you paid last year. We'll stand up to China and demand fair trade for Ohio workers, as I've always done. We'll end catch and release and stop illegal immigration, and we will ban critical race theory and fight for school choice, so important. So on next Tuesday, we'll send J.R. Majewski to Congress. We have to. This is a fantastic man. I've gotten to know him long. I don't do these calls that often. I only do them when I really like somebody. He is a fantastic man, a great man. He's going to be a great congressman. So get out and vote for J.R. Majewski on Tuesday. And I want to thank you, Ohio, for everything you've done for me. And I will keep working very hard for you. Thank you all. And J.R., I'll hand it back to you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, President Trump, for always supporting me, but most importantly, the great people of Ohio. And I'd like to ask all of you to stay on the line. We still have a great poll question ahead. And Lindy, I'll turn it over to you to get the poll question out.
Thank you, JR. I appreciate that. And thank you, President Trump, for a fantastic message. Please use your phone's keypad to answer the poll question. Here's your poll question. Can President Trump count on you to vote for J.R. Majewski? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for undecided.
That's
we look forward to hearing from the great people of Ohio. Here's your poll question.
Thanks.
Can President Trump count on you to vote for J.R. Majewski? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for undecided.
Drop a 1 in the chat if you're going to vote for J.R. Majewski.
Everyone that participated in the poll question, J.R., do you have any closing remarks?
I do, Lindy. Thank you. You know, it was amazing to have President Trump with us tonight. I think it's very clear that he understands how important this race is and how we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity that this district has not seen in over 40 years. We can get rid of Marcy Kaptur together, once and for all. 40 years is too long, but I need your help. We have to make the red wave happen. It needs to be a reality. We have to show up in numbers at the polls on November 8th. I want to let you all know that polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And if you voted by way of absentee ballot, they must be postmarked on or before November 7th or dropped off before the polls close. And if you're still looking to volunteer, to donate, or for information, please visit my website at jrmajewski4congress.com. Folks, together, we will lower gas prices. We will make groceries affordable. We will keep our children safe, enable our law enforcement with the resources that they need, secure our borders,
reduce crime, and keep drugs off of our streets. Together, we can make all of this possible. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to join us this evening. This is very, very important to me, and I want you all to know that I love each and every one of you. And I look forward to representing you in Congress and what will be the greatest district in Ohio. Lindy, I also want to thank you and your team. You've been very excellent to us, and we're getting ready to go win.
Thank you, JR. We appreciate it. And thank you, Ohio, for spending your evening with us. This will conclude tonight's tele rally. Thank you.
All right, guys. I am looking forward to seeing how many yes votes JR got. I'd also like to know how many people would not vote for JR after hearing President Trump completely dispel the fake news garbage narrative that he was somehow guilty of stolen valor or wasn't in Afghanistan when he served in the Air Force. You know, one of the things about the Air Force is that you're on planes, and so therefore you're going to be going to a whole bunch of different places. But at the end of the day, JR never misrepresented his record. The only misrepresentation was the fake news narrative coming from Marcy Kaptur, the AP, Yahoo News, USA Today, all of the big power players in the fake news media. When you have groups like that coming to attack you, you know you're on the right track. And my heart goes out to JR. He has absolutely poured everything, he and his wife, Nikki, everything into this race. He deserves to win, not only because of that hard work, but because he loves America, because he cares about the people of Ohio, because he understands the issues that are close to the hearts of the everyday people of this nation. People like Marcy Kaptur sitting in their ivory towers for 40 freaking years doing nothing, collecting a paycheck, talking smack about the people that are running against her, doing everything she can with her friends in the fake news media to make sure she is crowned the victor once again. Marcy Kaptur is a dishonest socialist Democrat who licks the boot heels of Joe Biden. Let's go ahead and watch a campaign ad from from J.R. Majewski about Marcy Kaptur.
The campaign finance arms of both parties out of the Congress, putting them back in the political parties, because what's happened is both chambers have turned into money-changing institutions, and it costs far too much to run for the presidency anymore. Most seats in Congress, they're recruiting millionaires now because people can't afford to run for the positions. That's not a representative.
These are the people that Marcy Kaptur stands with. Not the people of America.
And that taxpayer dollars should not be used to pay for abortion.
What?
Unless the life of the mother is at stake or rape and incest. I've been a consistent supporter of family planning and full women's health.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Do not fund abortions with federal dollars unless the life of the mother is at stake, rape, or incest.
Find a way forward if we don't have conversations.
My choice! My choice! My choice!
Really think you're making a difference right now?
This is war on women! How dare the Supreme Court do this?
These people are unhinged. This is another really good reason why we got to get them out of Washington, D.C. People like Marcy Kaptur,
tell
they don't
me what you've seen and what's been happening that shows you these are bad trade.
I've served in Congress a very long time, thanks to the people who send me here. And I was elected to try to help create jobs.
Too
then
bad you
I turn
didn't.
The news on and they're closing this plant. And
a representative with the restaurant's ownership group confirms the last day for the Levis Commons location is January 12th.
After 38 years of providing decorations, supplies, and learning materials for teachers in the greater Toledo area, ABC Center has made the tough decision to close their doors on July 30th.
Taking over the family business in 1965, Fred Melchevsky has decided to close its doors. 13 ABC's
began with the market that opened up in 1912, which eventually transformed into a catering business.
This was my only job.
And look what these candidates say they're going to do, and then when they get in office, they don't do it.
The only thing Marcy Kaptur has presided over since coming to Washington, D.C. is the slow, steady destruction of her district, the slow, steady downfall of Ohio. She has presided over a virtual bloodletting of jobs, of industry, of economic prosperity, all of it left under Marcy Kaptur. And what did she do for anyone other than herself? The people of Ohio need J.R. Majewski, and it's not just Ohio. Every single state in the union needs political representation like our friend J.R. Majewski, and that's what we're going to do in this midterm election. You know what? We are going to turn this ship around. It's not easy. This is like steering the Titanic away from an iceberg. Right now, we are slowly and surely heading to the bottom of the ocean in a giant sinking death trap because it's run by people like Joe Biden and his Democrat cronies. When new blood comes into office, when policies begin to be implemented, when investigations happen and the truly guilty people who have committed crimes against the United States of America, guilty of treason, when those people begin to get the punishment they deserve and the people of America begin to see prosperity leaking back into their lives like light through the blinds, then America is going to be fully convinced that the problem is not the Republicans. The problem is Joe Biden and the radical left Democrats. The problem is business as usual, the status quo, the quid pro quo of Washington, D.C., that is exemplified and personified by people like Joe Biden and his criminal family that he has used in the same way Marcy Kaptur has to line their own pockets. The best is truly yet to come, my friends, and November is just the start. We are merely a week away from a complete and utter reversal of the Biden agenda, of the global criminal cabal's agenda to destroy America and the rest of the world. This is not just happening here. This is happening all over the world. People everywhere are rising up. We can rise up without actually taking up arms against this criminal justice system that has ensnared and enslaved the people of America. We're going to do it at the ballot box, and then we're going to do it one county at a time after that. So please, my friends, continue to fight. We need every single one of you. We have got to turn this around. I'm not going to say that it's over if we don't in November, but I truly believe we will be. This is one of those supreme moments where God is going to win because the people have his back and God has our back. Let me just make sure there's no more thank yous over here on the foxhole. Red Pill Ken, he said, I'm on the call too. Redeemed Patriot said, three great patriots. Paul Thaddeus, good to see you. I just watched the new Dune the other night. Anybody out there a fan of Frank Herbert? Video Demon Slayer says, thank you, Zach, and much love, fam. Like I always say, I came for RP78 and M3, and I stayed for the fam. And then P-Quest, thank you very much for that can. D-Patriot, I'm with you. He says, let's hope we don't get hosed like we did in 2020. If we were going to get hosed like we did in 2020, remember the down ballots went Republican virtually. Here in the midterm election, they would have to steal it in every single state. I think that even in Pennsylvania, where they had early voting begin before the Fetterman-Oz debate, even that's not going to make a difference. Even if every single one of those ballots, 500,000 ballots that were sent in, were all for John Fetterman, I still think Oz is going to win because people are going to be so engaged to turn out and make sure John Fetterman remains at the nursing home and does not enter the Washington, D.C. state capitol. Because if he did, it would be disastrous, not only for the people of Philadelphia, for the people of Pennsylvania, rather, but for the people of America. We cannot have that. Yeah, I am really looking forward to the next part of Dune. I thought it was it was a gorgeous movie. It was well done. It left me wanting for more. I was a big fan of Dune when I was a kid, big fan of Frank Herbert. Really excited to see what they do with the next part of it. Hopefully it doesn't take another 4 years for them to make. Scott Fish says Zach Payne is an American hero. Thank you for all you do, brother. I really appreciate that, man. That means a lot. Also, over on Rumble from Fred Awakening, he said, J.R. Majewski making Russia great again, LOL. Somebody's going to clip that, aren't you? And then Charles Parkton, said, hashtag death penalty for treason. Yeah, that's the truth. You know, that is the punishment for treason. And people have committed treason. They have become traitors against their own nation, against their own people. Do me a favor. If you didn't watch the show I did earlier today with Nate Kane about True the Vote founder Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips Patriot Games being arrested and thrown into prison with no due process, with no bail and no hope, no discernible way to get out, please go watch that show from earlier today and help me out by sharing it. It's not really helping me. It's helping Greg and Catherine, because people need to understand. You know, I had a conversation with somebody earlier today. And I'm not going to tell you exactly who it was with, but I thought that it was telling, because I don't know that people really understand how important and how frightening what happened this morning was. So Greg and Catherine being thrown in jail for contempt of court, that's in a civil case. It's not a criminal case. They haven't been accused of committing any crimes. They're being sued for defamation by Eugene Yu and Connick, who have not shown up to court since proceedings have begun. Only the lawyers have shown up. And in America, you have a right to face your accuser. Now, the case itself should have been thrown out, because the claims made in the defamation case relate specifically to the crimes that they have been charged with in Los Angeles County, and that I'm certain they're going to be charged with in additional counties, cities, and states all over America. So this case ultimately is going to go nowhere. Greg and Catherine can't be guilty of defamation, because these are things that Connick actually did. So Greg and Catherine's circumstances are important, because it's not criminal, because they broke no laws, and because they were thrown in jail with no due process, no bail, no opportunity. Okay, hey, you guys, JR is actually able to jump on the line with us. So let me grab a Zoom link, and I'm going to send this over to him. But yes, this is frightening, because it means it can happen to any number of us. Any one of us out there, if we are sued for defamation or something like that, and the judge in that case makes a decision that he unilaterally wants to throw us in prison, you know, that's something that I honestly could I could find myself in a circumstance like that. That's why I'm very, very tight-lipped and careful about the way that I say things. Here we go. Sending J.R. Majewski the Zoom link, and hopefully you guys are going to enjoy speaking with J.R. Shannon loves sharks, and I love your name. She says, a shout-out from a Taiwanese patriot in Texas. Zach, I love your shows. You never disappoint. Thank you so much, Shannon. I really, really appreciate that. All right, you guys, we're going to get JR on the line right now. He hasn't read the message, but let me see if I can get it again. Okay, ready. All right, I'm excited. Here he is. Here he is. All right, let's bring in our friend, the one and only J.R. Majewski. Let me get us pulled up. He's just connecting to audio and video right now. And J.R., can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
Awesome. Awesome.
Getting my stuff all set up now. I had to have all my stuff muted because I was on with President Trump. So.
Oh, of course. I understand. I had to figure out how to patch my phone into the system so that I could play the audio on the stream. But I did it. It's what I did all day, but I got it figured out. Listen, J.R., on behalf of myself and everybody here in the chat, that brought tears to more than just a few people's eyes. Hearing you and President Trump on that phone call, the glowing accolades you both gave to each other, that beautiful and poignant introduction that you gave bringing President Trump in, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, he exposed so much. He gave Americans so much hope. And in my mind, bro, you are like the spiritual successor to Donald Trump. You're going to be ushered into Washington, D.C., and you're going to keep it warm with all that MAGA goodness, all the America First vibes until he comes back, hopefully, in 2024.
Well, thanks, man. I can tell you that that was probably the most nervous I've ever been.
You and sounded like even... you were totally like smooth, cool as a cucumber, dude. Cool as a cucumber.
No, I mean, I've been on the stage, I've spoken at his rallies.
Yeah.
You know, I met him in person multiple times and, you know, not knowing how many people were going to be on that call. Yeah, I had a little bit of nerves and some eagle bumps, but,
that's great.
I wrote that speech, this morning. We had a couple ideas and, it was supposed to be a talk about me, but I just couldn't resist the chance to, you know, the guy gets hammered all the time unfairly. Yeah. And, you know, I think he should know that, you know, we care and we respect him for what he's done for us. And, a whole generation of us are, I don't want to say generation, but a whole wave of America First supporters and candidates are here because of what he did for the country.
That's right.
And I'm proud of it. I'm proud to say that I support President Trump. I've always been, always will be.
I'm absolutely on the exact same page, and I think you're right. You know, I also want to say that I love that President Trump directly addressed those garbage claims that Marcy Kaptur and the AP and the other fake news media outlets made against you, calling into question your character and your record. It was one of the sickest and most despicable moments that I've ever witnessed in a congressional campaign, a presidential campaign, any campaign for any office. And I'm really glad that President Trump said that because it sets the record straight. You know, it's you told people what your record was. OK, and then the AP comes in and makes a straw man argument to make it appear as if you lied. You didn't. OK, and now you're forced to try to defend yourself. No, President Trump telling everybody that it was bullshit. You know, of course he looked into you. Of course he knows who you are and what you've done. So I'm really glad that he went on record to say that because that, you know, I that made me cry, dude. I mean, like, I was so upset thinking about what they were doing to you and everything that you guys have sacrificed and not just because you put in time, but because you love your country. You love your state. You're doing this because you care about the people.
Yeah, I mean, that's not enough anymore.
No.
You know, the Democratic Party, you know, and folks like Marcy Kaptur, they're so desperate to stay in power that they will do anything and everything. And, you know, there's a strong contingent of Democratic veterans out there that, you know, I think if they were to peel back the onion or just read the statements that I put out, I think they would have a totally different perspective. But, you know, this was a blatant attack to not only ruin my campaign, but also my personal life. Uh-huh. And, you know, I had a lot of threats, not only from, you know, being a Trump supporter and being an America First candidate, but I mean, when, you know, they accused me of stolen valor and all these other things. I mean, yeah, I became politically motivated because I supported veterans.
Right.
You know, I've never once gone on and said I grabbed a Bowie knife and ran through the streets of Afghanistan like Rambo.
Right.
You know, I don't really talk about my military career because it's only a fraction of you know, my accomplishments. And also, I think at the end of the day, you know, I serve the country and that should be enough. And there were a lot of things that happened in Ohio during the primary elections. You know, the Senate candidates got into an argument on, you know, who did the coolest thing in the service. And, you know, my opinion is, you know, if you were a line cook or a Navy SEAL, you deserve the same recognition. We're not going to Congress to be members of the military. We're going to be leaders. We're going to represent. And my professional career is a distinct capture of how I can be successful and how I've led various teams.
Right.
And won. And that's what they're scared of. They're not, you know, they're not attacking my professional career. They're not going after that. They're just nitpicking little things that they can say. And if you look at the timeline, you know, they did this the week that military ballots were coming out. They know that a 20-year-old service record is sitting down in archives, and that there's a, you know, 8 to 9 week response. And the Air Force gave them the answer that they deserved, right? Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be, you know, J.R. Majewski should prove that he was a veteran. It's that they should prove that I was not.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That wasn't the circumstance. They just threw accusations out there and used the power of the media to bolster the message. And Marcy Kaptur spent a lot of money. I mean, if you were to Google J.R. Majewski right now, you'll see articles and you'll see that they were sponsored by her campaign. And she's still my representative. And if that's how she's willing to treat me, you know, someone that claims they support veterans that have been involved in veterans affairs over the past 40 years, she should have stopped it. She should have known that my records were obtained illegally. She should have known that these accusations were nothing more than innuendos, and she should have stood her ground for me as my representative. And if she would have done that, she might have won the election, but now she's going to get, now she's going to lose in very poor fashion. And
she's going to lose in disgrace.
Yeah, she should.
She absolutely should. You know, just by the fact that you served in the military, you did more than 90% of the people out there. Okay. And you're right. It doesn't really matter what role you have. I mean, having the courage to sign up in the first place, you know, just to have the opportunity to serve your country, to go anywhere in the world and to put your life on the line, automatically makes you a target. And for them to go after you and to create these straw man arguments that they know you're not going to be able to refute with anything other than, you know, a couple of pieces of paper, you know, there's no way. They did it on purpose because they knew that it was going to put you into a compromising position, and that there would be some of those Democrats out there who were also veterans who served, but are still under the control and the brainwashing that has been so thoroughly ingrained in the American people through people like Marcy Kaptur, through the radical left Democrats in Washington, D.C., and first and foremost, through the fake news media. These people are the enemy of the people, JR. You know, there is so much that I'm sure that you're hoping to achieve once you get to Washington, D.C. But tell me, what is the first thing you're going to do when you go to Washington?
Well,
and it doesn't have to be like an issue. I would like to hear issues, but I mean, like, literally, when you walk into Washington, what is your plan?
Oh, buddy. I don't know if I should say that yet.
Okay.
You know, I'll just say this. I've been paying very close attention to the people that have supported me and the people that haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a real leader, a true leader gives their trust freely. And that's an earmark of a true leader. And I can say along the campaign trail, there's been times where I've been taken advantage of because I'm the kind of guy that gives my trust pretty freely.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been bamboozled. And, you know, I'm going to set the record straight with a few people that I believe treated me unfairly in a principled and ethical manner. But I'm going to really spend a lot of time over the first few months getting out to this district and doing what I said I was going to do, which is developing individual messages with folks. You know, I don't want to be, known as, I mean, this is going to be a Cinderella story, Zach.
Sure.
I mean, people didn't expect me to win the primary. We expected it.
Yeah.
People didn't expect, you know, everything that I've gone through with losing my dad. And I mean, this has been a fight, and, you know, we've been very responsible in how we spent our money. Every donation that I have, for the most part, I've asked for. I mean, I can't ask for online donations, but
right.
You know, I've ran a very principled campaign, and I haven't gone out and unfairly attacked my opponent. And, you know, Goliath was killed by his own sword, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a story of David versus Goliath. This is a story of a regular American, just like me, just like you all, who stood up and said, damn it, I'm going to represent the people that I love and the people that I live with. And it's also a story of you know, the big monster of our government and the bureaucrats and the political hacks doing everything that they can try to install that reality. And the will of the people is I believe firmly is going to elect me on November 8th. And starting on the 9th, man, I'm going to take a couple days to, you know, finally soak this all in and get to, you know, finally come breather. To terms with, yeah. Yeah. Really, it's going to be about me coming to terms with, you know, I lost my dad because I haven't had the chance to do that yet. And with a big smile on my face, get my butt out in the district and start high-fiving people and saying I told you so as many times as I can.
That's great. Are you going to have a victory party in Ohio? Can I come?
Yeah, well, yeah, you can come anywhere. You're always invited. We thought about having a victory party, but, you know, the district is so large. There's going to be many victory parties. Mm-hmm. So what we're leaning towards now is to, you know, hop in the campaign RV and visit all of the various counties. Mm-hmm. And then when we get, you know, when we get closer to the ballots being opened, you know, we'll wherever we are at that point in time, we'll probably end up just staying there. But I want to be mobile and I don't want the media, you know, the media's been asking me to, the media, just they're hounds and they want to be everywhere at all times. And, you know, the election night, the winning party is going to be about, you know, me and my family and the people that have supported me and my team. I don't want it to be more than that. Mm-hmm. And they can wait until the 9th of November to, you know, get a sound bite from me. Cause I'm not doing it for the media. I'm not doing it for anybody else, but the people that are voting for me. So we're going to be available, but I don't think we're going to stick in one spot.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes
changes,
sense.
I'll let you know.
All right. It makes sense.
But
you're
always welcome to come to Ohio, man.
I know. I'm going to, you know, I got a plan for it now. I can't just hop in the car and drive a couple hours like I used to be able to. So, but I guarantee, you know, once this all goes down, I'm going to make a special trip. I have to.
We're going to get golden brown god.
Yeah.
We're going to know who you are up here.
My friend Jeffrey called earlier today and he said, "Damn, Zach, you are so tan. You look Cuban." Yeah, man. This is light for me too, you know, like I haven't mowed the lawn for a couple of weeks because the lawnmower was broken. I just got it back yesterday, so first thing tomorrow, that's what I'm doing. So we'll see how dark I am on Occam's razor. Let me say a couple of thank yous here from Rumble. Jai Hanumanji, I'm pretty sure that's my buddy Scott. Thank you, Zach, and thank you, JR. We need support in Hawaii for America First candidates like Scott Adams. Save Hawaii, MAGA, VoteScottAdam.com. VoteScottAdam.com. Scott Adams is another true America First patriot. He's been here on the show before as well. Obviously, Hawaii is a uphill battle, a different situation, but Scott, I encourage him to continue to stay active in politics there in Hawaii, and maybe we can get him, either, if not this time, then the next time. Thank you very much, Numanji. Lunar Hayes, he says, J.R. Majewski for president 2028. I was thinking that. I was listening to you and President Trump together, and I was like, oh, what if President Trump chooses J.R. as his running mate?
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I you know, I've made such a commitment to the district. I don't think that would be fair.
I think you're right. I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know,
I'd love for him to ask me. I just, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I've spent 2 years now almost, you know, going through the district and promising and committing to them.
Yeah,
you know, great representation, and I think I know I owe it to him to stick right where I'm at now. President Trump wants to come here and convince them otherwise. We can cross that bridge when we get there. But I just want to serve the people. I have no intentions of being the president.
Yeah.
But if the good Lord takes me there, then that's where we'll be. But yeah, that's a, you know, the Trump Majewski 24 shirts were just a gag joke. You know?
Oh, it's something. It's a conversation for down the road. That's for sure. Yeah. All right. So over here on Foxhole, I need to say thank you to PQuest. Thank you for that can. Empress says JR is going to kick ass. TikToks says JR is the man. No matter what anyone says, they're going to have to fight me. They're going after these hands. LOL. Yes. Tick is a bruiser. You guys, you don't want to meet that guy in a dark alley. Shondra, thank you for the cookie. D Patriot 1776. Much love from New Jersey. JR. Red Pill Ken, our friend that we met in Ohio, I have a signed JR cap, but I handed him a Trump wristband. JR is for we the people. Boise Blanc 89, thank you for the cookie. And then Inside Gino, thank you for the can as well. So, yeah, what do you have planned for the next 7 or 8 days? I mean, do you have a whole bunch of different campaign stops that you're doing? Are you doing a number of events? Can people come see you if they're in Ohio?
Yeah, the best place is to go to my Facebook. You know, we post different events there. Tomorrow we have a three destination tour. We're going to be going out towards Indiana. We're stopping at three different places. We're targeting, you know, small businesses and you know, folks that, you know, have been really oppressed by Marcy for 40 years. But these other counties that we're going to tomorrow, they're out in the what was formerly Congressman Bob Latta's district. And that's where it's real red out in those parts, and we love being out there. So we're going to go visit them. And then Wednesday, we're going to be having a rally here in Port Clinton at the airport. One of our supporters owns a airplane hangar and a couple Lear jets. And we're going to have Alex Brusewitz from X Strategies, Congressman Jim Banks from Indiana, and a MAGA candidate of much renounces, which is Corey Mills from Florida. So Corey's going to be coming up. He actually worked for President Trump in his administration. And we're hoping to have a special guest there. Some discussions have been had. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. We haven't announced that special guest because we don't want to, you know, hold them too accountable, because it is, you know, coming up on the election day. And we're gonna put on one hell of a show. If you've been to the yard, you know how we get down up here in Northwest Ohio, and this is gonna be a good one. We're gonna be prepping the hangar tomorrow night, and I'll send you a picture of it. It's actually a pretty cool location, brand new hangar.
I think that would be awesome. I would definitely want to see that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Hopefully,
we're using the same stage that we used for the MAGA rallies.
Oh, sweet. Okay, yeah. It's going to feel right at home. That's perfect. Absolutely. That's perfect. Hopefully, on those Lear jets, they're going to bring you a couple of bottles of Champs. You can get video of you popping the top with a sword or a bayonet or something.
Oh, you know what? I just that reminds me. I have to do my normal and say hello to Media Matters. You liars.
Yes. Yeah.
How are you?
You lying. You're recording
everything
shit.
And you're watching everything. Thank you, Media Matters, for increasing my name ID to over 98%.
So
make sure that you sign a disclosure and you turn that into my treasurer as a in-kind gift.
There you go.
Highly appreciated, you jerks.
So do we know, JR, how many people were on that call? How many people were there to hear you and President Trump? Do you get metrics like that?
Yeah, we'll get the metrics afterwards. Probably they may be texting it to me now, but I would say there was probably a lot of people on the call. We reached out to, I think, 90,000 people. We'll see. But we'll get the metrics, and then we'll get the poll results. So I'm sure there were a lot of Democrats on as well, because, you know, I posted the phone number on social. So.
Yeah.
I know President Trump will be curious later on tonight on the poll results, because he's a mind that loves analytics. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
He's very stupid.
He is definitely a by the numbers kind of guy. Like he said, you know, every single time he does this for a candidate, it's a great turnout. I do not think that you're going to be the first one to let President Trump down in that respect. I truly believe you will be carrying this home to victory on the 8th. Real briefly over here on the Foxhole, Cynthia, thank you very much. Pam Day says, love you, JR. And then Sean Joe dropped a cookie as well. But let me go ahead and pass out the gold pills, guys. We're going to wrap it up here. And JR, you know, as always, I'd like to ask if you have anything further that you want to say to the audience, anything else that you want to make sure they know before we take off for the night.
Well, I would say this. It's been a long road. It's been a tough road. And like I said way back when, You know, one of the first guys to call me when it all started was Zach. And, you know, who would have thought that painting grass would lead you to Congress?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one day we'll do a children's coloring book, you know.
And, a la cash.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll do it free, you know. We'll get a children's coloring book and all the proceeds can go to St. Jude's or something. But,
cool.
You know, who would have thought that standing up for what you believe in and being fearless and willing to say the right thing no matter what the outcome, who would have thought that would have brought all of us together, despite the fact that we've been accused of being terrorists and everything else under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been a kind, God-fearing, graceful group of people. And yeah, I just want to say thank you, Zach, to you, man. Thank you to Lisa. Thank you to everybody that's out there that has just taken some entertainment in my candor and believed in what I believe in and stood by to support me. Wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all of you. And I look forward to being on the Red Pill podcast and live stream for many years to come, as long as you'll have me.
Absolutely.
So we're going to win on November 9th. And my district is going to have hope for the first time in 40 years. But I hope that all of you take some pride in supporting me and what you've done, because you've been a very big cornerstone in our success. So thank you all, man. And Zach, dude, I couldn't thank you more. It's been fantastic. It's going to be even better.
I'm totally with you. I am super excited about what the future holds. You know, I love you. Please send my love to Nikki as well. And I just cannot wait to be able to report that you are the newest congressional representative for Ohio's 9th district. So much love, much success. One more thank you over there on Rumble. Vector says hello from Australia. Always a good time to see you here, Vector. You guys, I'll be back tonight, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 Central, for another episode of Baseless Conspiracies with John and Zach over there on Patel Patriots channel. Hopefully I will see you then. If I don't, then until next time, good luck and God bless. We'll see you tonight.